Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. It is the first Sunday of Advent at Trinity United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. It's great to see so many folks here. It's a very exciting time when you look out and the pews are fuller than sometimes. In your bulletin, you'll notice that the church office will be closed tomorrow, and that's to kind of take a break from a busy weekend. And also on your, you'll see that I'll be here in the sanctuary tomorrow at 1:30, and I'll be in the sanctuary every Monday at 1:30 until further notice. Please join me for a time of prayer or conversation, and it's a great opportunity. So then we'll have confirmation at the regular time, 4:45 on Wednesday. And then Friday, it doesn't say so in your bulletin, but if you are bringing treats for the cookie walk, please bring them Friday afternoon from 4 until 6. It's not November. It is December the 2nd. So pay no attention to the man behind the screen. And then, of course, the cookie walk on Saturday. And then next Sunday morning, you'll miss a treat if you're not here. Our children will be presenting the Christmas story through the eyes of the friendly beast. And it will be entertaining and enjoyable. I think that's all of the information that I have to share with you. Is there information you would like to share with one another at this time? We're all good. Then let's share God's peace together. Peace within us, peace over us, let all around us be at peace. I want to invite you to stand and let's sing together our welcoming song, number 122 in your hymnal, Come, O Long Expected Jesus. Let us join together in our invitation to worship. How shall we begin to prepare this house for the coming of Jesus, the King?
The Christ, the
Savior. How shall we begin to prepare this house for the coming of Jesus, the Christ? How shall we begin to prepare this house for the coming of Jesus, Savior of the world?
The gracious of all humanity, civilizing Christ's passion, death,
shall we begin to prepare this house for the coming of Jesus, Son of God? All glory to God in the highest. Amen. You may be seated. Bells have been used through the centuries to call people to worship, or at times to bring good news or sad news. All of those, any news has been heralded by bells. When heirs to royalty were born in European countries, bells would peal. When wars were over, bells would celebrate. Bells used to ring when Christians died. And they used to ring to call us to God's house, as they do here at Trinity. And today, we will ring our bells to call us to remember the birth, which is soon to be celebrated among us, of the King's heir, our Lord, the Christ. So if you brought a bell, or if you picked up a bell in the narthex, this is the time, folks. Let's ring our bells together. What a delightful sound. It's different every time. Thank you for bringing your bells. We'll have another opportunity to ring them later. And now we're going to learn about the significance of the star. Jack, can you come here? Yes, please.
Throughout the ages, astronomers had proposed countless theories about the mysterious light over Bethlehem. Some have calculated it to be the recurrence of Halley's Comet or the sudden merging of two or more planets. Despite these theories and speculations, according to ancient manuscripts, spectacular celestial object was seen. Whether the mystery surrounding the Bethlehem star, it has survived the centuries as a symbol of new birth, a promise, a new day of life that changed the course of human history. It represents the one true perfect light that leads us from darkness of despair to hope of eternal. It is the perfect light that will never be vanquished.
Thank you. Let us sing together one verse of We Three Kings. There is an insert in your bulletin.
We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star.
Now we're going to learn about the significance of all the candles.
The lighting of the candles has been part of religious worship for centuries. The Hebrews burned candles for 8 days as a part of their Feast of Lights. Light has been used by many religious groups to symbolize truth, while darkness has been the universal symbol for evil. Since Jesus is referred to as the light of the world in the New Testament, the lighting of candles has become an important part of our Christian worship. It has been stated the wax of the altar candles represent the body of Christ. The wick symbolizes his soul, and the flame portrays his divine nature. Candles made from pure beeswax have also served as an emblem of Mary, since that wax comes from virgin bees, which is why some churches burn only beeswax candles on their altars. When Joseph and Mary presented Jesus in the temple, Simon referred to the Christ child as a light to enlighten the Gentiles. This statement has prompted Christians to use candles to symbolize the light of Christ shining throughout the sin-darkened world. The candles we light this morning symbolize Christ's coming into the world of sin and evil, war and strife, stress and turmoil, suffering and death. He came to bring hope and help to those who were held captive by oppression and to guide them to personal peace and joy through the illumination of his message of the love of God.
Thank you, Corbin. Let's sing two verses of O Come, Emmanuel.
Advent is a time of expectation symbolized not only by a four-week period of preparation, but by the lighting of an Advent candle on each Sunday of the season. The flame of each new candle reminds us that something is happening, yet something more is still to come. The Advent season will not complete until all four candles are lit, and the central Christ candle brightly burns on Christmas Eve. The tradition of the Advent wreath is traced back to an old Scandinavian custom which celebrated the coming of light after a season of darkness. In those days, candles were placed on the edge of a horizontal wheel. As the wheel was spun around, the lighted candles would blend into a consciousness circle of light. Today we use a circle of evergreen to remind us of the continuous power of God, which knows no beginning or ending. The colors of the candles of Advent wreath are also symbolic. The three blue-purple candles symbolize the coming of Christ from the royal line of David. He is coming as the King and Kings and Prince of Peace. The pink candle is lighted on the third Sunday of the Advent and symbolizes joy. Its use goes back to the Latin Church, which asked the worshipers to fast during this period of time. A progression is noted in the lighting of the candles of Advent wreath. Beginning with the first candle, which symbolizes hope, the second candle reminds us we are involved in a season of peace as we move in frantic circles to prepare for the celebration of the coming of Christ. Joy is the theme of the third candle. As we proclaim Christ brought joy to the world when he appeared, the revelation of God's love for all humankind is portrayed by the lighting of the fourth candle. The culmination of the season comes on Christmas Eve when the Christ candle is lit. We join in rejoicing that God's promise of long ago has been fulfilled.
Thank you, Carson.
A day is coming when the mountain of God's house will be the mountain, solid, towering over all mountains. All nations will river toward it. People from all over set out for it. They'll say, "Come, let's climb God's mountain. Go to the house of the God of Jacob. God will show us the way. God works so we can live the way we are made." Zion is the source of this revelation. God's message comes from Jerusalem. God will settle things fairly between nations. God will make things right between many people. They will turn their swords into shovels, their spears into hoes. No more will nation fight nation. They won't play war anymore. Come, family of Jacob, let's live in the hope-filled light of God.
What do we hope for in our new world?
I hope for a future that is more amazing than anything we could ever imagine.
We hope for the healing of creation.
I hope for good mental health and wellness.
I hope for a world where everyone seeks good for all people and all creation.
Advent is the beginning of our new world, a better place where we can dare to be full of hope and live boldly.
May it be so.
Let us all join together in this prayer. Gracious God, as we light this first Advent candle, may it be a sign of our hope, our joyous hope, that we can be restored. Our faith restored, our strength restored, our confidence restored, our joy restored, as we watch and wait with all God's people for your promise to be fulfilled. Amen. Thank you. We have a new song that we'll be singing throughout Advent. And it's "One Candle Is Lit." I'm going to ask Sarah to play it through once, and then we'll sing it together. going to learn about the significance of the holly.
Have you ever wondered why we talk about the hanging of the greens, or why an evergreen is called an evergreen, and why Christmas greens are traditionally used to emphasize the nativity? Green represents renewal, new life, freshness, and rebirth. Plants such as pine, fir, holly, ivy, and mistletoe are called evergreens because they do not die. Through the seasons of the year, they remain evergreen, ever alive. It is no wonder we deck our sanctuary and halls with evergreens during the Advent season. Advent is the season of preparation for the coming of Christ, God's gift to use of new and eternal life. The many legends of the holly include a dark side as well as a brighter side. It has been said what was once called the holy tree somehow became holly through a corruption of the English language. Even before the dawn of Christianity, the eternal green leaf of the holly tree gave it an aura of mystery and reverence. Primitive tribes believed hanging holly in their shelves would bring them good fortune. They also believed its mysterious powers would chase away witches and evil spirits. Early Christians wore holly as they entered the church, convinced this practice would give them supernatural powers. It was their belief the burning bush through which God spoke to Moses was the holly or holy tree. Many believe Christ's crown of thorns was fashioned from holly leaves. And after the crown was pressed down on his head, the blood turned the white berries to red we recognize today. Holly was so revered for its ability to defy death, it is said whenever Jesus walked on the earth and holly sprang up in his footsteps.
And we'll learn about the significance of the ivy.
Ivy is also rich in symbolism. In the Middle Ages, ivy was used extensively for Christmas decorating. It was considered a symbol of love because of its clinging habit of growth. Holly and ivy are often associated together in legends because of holly's sturdiness and ivy's tenaciousness. Both have the ability to survive and to grow. We decorate our sanctuary with holly and ivy because of their link through the ages with beauty, endurance, and permanence. And though they are steeped in legend and superstition, their quality of life over death is fitting and proper for the birth of the one who offers each of us life beyond death.
Thank you, Barbara. Let's sing together the holly and the ivy, and there's an insert in your bulletin, and your words are on the screen.
Oh,
poinsettias, which are coming.
The most popular flower of the Advent season is the bright red poinsettia. Actually, the red petals are not blossoms. They are the small yellow clusters found at the center. Somehow, the red and green leaves of the plant give Christmas an added touch, which would not be the same without them. This attractive flower was discovered growing wild in Mexico by Dr. Joel Poinsett, who served as one of the first foreign ministers to that country from 1825 to 1829. In Mexico, the plant was referred to as the flower of the holy night, or the flame leaf. Dr. Poinsett brought several of the new plants to America, where a Philadelphia nursery worker developed it into the type of flower we see today. Many legends have grown up around the poinsettia. One is it was merely a weed that grew in Mexico until it was placed at the feet of the Virgin Mary by a poor peasant gift who had no other gift to bring. As it touched the feet of the statue, it was transformed immediately into a flower of scarlet brilliance. Another legend states blood fell from the broken heart of a young Hispanic girl, and a poinsettia grew where each drop fell. This beautiful flower speaks to us symbolically in several ways. First, the star-shaped formation of the red leaves calls to mind the star which shone at the first Christmas. In a less joyous sense, the color of the flower is blood red, which reminds us of the blood of the male infants killed by Roman soldiers as King Herod sought to eliminate any threat to his throne. We sometimes forget this part of the story, which made the trip of Mary, Joseph, and the Christ child to Egypt a necessity. The color of the flower also symbolizes the fact the babe of Bethlehem's manger became the savior of the world as he shed his blood upon the cross of Calvary.
Thank you, Casey. And now the significance of the Christmas tree.
The evergreen tree has been a symbol of Christmas and the center of holiday festivities for many years. The green color of the tree symbolizes growth and represents everlasting life in the midst of winter. It is hard to tell when the use of the tree during the Christmas season began. However, it was probably first used in Scandinavia. Records tell of its use there in the 8th century when St. Boniface persuaded the Druids to replace the oak tree of their pagan ceremonies with a fir tree, which symbolized eternal life. The most famous story about the early use of the evergreen tree at Christmas centers around Martin Luther. As he walked through the forest one starry night, with snow covering the ground, he marveled at the beauty of the starlight as it shone from the branches of the fir trees. When he tried to tell his family of the glory and the beauty of the forest, they failed to comprehend what he had seen. He then brought a pine tree into the house, placed candles upon it to represent the twinkling of the stars. The earliest use of the Christmas tree in America is also not known. However, a German tailor, August Ingrid, set up a fir tree in his home at Wooster, Ohio in 1847, and he decorated it. The first tree to appear in a church was in Cleveland, Ohio in 1851. Some members of the congregation thought the act was sacrilege and were very critical of their pastor. Few trees appeared in churches in the mid-19th century, since many still considered it to be a pagan custom. However, the tree has now become a symbol of the glory of God and God's promise of eternal life.
Thank you, Cindy. And when you are in the narthex and look at the big tree, you'll see that it has chrismons hanging on it. We're going to put a few on this tree. We decorate our tree with chrismons, usually handmade ornaments with various symbols of Christianity. The name chrismon actually comes from a combination of Christ and monogram. The only colors used in creating chrismons are the liturgical colors of Christmas. White, which symbolizes purity, holiness, and virtue, as well as respect and reverence, and gold, which is precious and valuable, and thus symbolizes majestic joy and celebration. Because of its brightness, metallic gold also symbolizes the presence of God. And at this time, I want to invite the children to come forward and meet me on the steps, and we'll learn about a few of the chrismons. This is great. It's good morning to you again. Some of you I've already seen when we were practicing for next week. What's happening next Sunday? Our Christmas program, that's right. And we're going to have some really great animals around, aren't we? What are we going to have? A camel, a donkey, a sheep, and a cow. Yeah. So you don't want to miss it, folks. Well, we're going to talk about the chrismons. This is the first one. What does this look like to you? It looks like a fish. Now, sometimes there you'll see this fish, and there'll be some letters in here. They're Greek letters. That one looks like an I, one looks like an X, one looks like a Q. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And a Y and an S. And that means in Greek, Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. And that's actually, it's called an ichthus. Can you say ichthus? Yeah, kind of a strange word. So who would like to go hang this on that tree over there? There you go. And then we have, this is a special, what does this look like? What? An anchor. But is it only an anchor? It's a cross and anchor. Yeah, it's called an anchor cross. Why do you think this would be something we talk about at Christmas time? What do you think? That's exactly right. And of course, a lot of people who were with Jesus, they had what? Boats? Did they have boats? Did they have fish? So there's the anchor. And what is an anchor about? It keeps you what? It keeps you right where you should be. It anchors you. It makes a solid place for you to be. So who would like to hang this one on the tree? Caden? All right. You probably know this one really well. What is this one? What is this one? Well, it is, but they are kind of like, they look kind of like praying hands, don't they? So why would this be important to put on your tree? What do you think? Why is this important? That's so right. Every day you have to pray to God, and you want to especially pray during Advent season, don't you? So, would you want to hang it on the tree? Sure. Okay. All right. Who can tell me what it is? What is it? Oh, that's all tarp. Take a look. What is it? It's a star.
That's right. It kind of looks like the North Star, doesn't it? You think it's like the star that was at Bethlehem? It's a Bethlehem star. How many points does it have? It has eight points. So what would be important about that? Why would it have 8 points? Got to find my note here. Well, actually, 8 points. What do you know? That's a really good answer. I like that. Yes. It also is about baptism and just being born again. But it's also, this star kind of looks like something else that we look at every day. Yes, that's right, the sun. So we got one, we got two more. How about you put it on the, yes. All right. Who can tell me what this is? Do you know? It's at your school? What is it? Kind of. It's Greek. Uh-huh. So you got the A correct. This right here kind of looks like an O. Alpha and Omega. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. So it's about the beginning. And then Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. And guess what it's about? That's correct. So this is about the beginning and the ending, and that's about Jesus. He was there at the beginning, and he'll be there at the end, and he's there everything in between. Let's let, yeah. Okay, one more. This is a special kind of cross. Anybody know what kind of cross this is? Do you know? Something about this part around here? Are you two figuring it out? It's called a Celtic cross. And it's a cross. That's important. But there's some this round thing. What do you think that's about? Ah. Yes, it's like, and it's a circle. So when you have Jesus, you have no beginning and no end. You're just always there. So who hasn't hung one? I'll let you go hang it up. All right. So those are some of the chrismons. Now there's a whole bunch out on the tree in the narthex. You might want to look at them and see which symbols you like the best. Maybe you could even put one on your tree. Oh, like it's just a picture of a nativity. You can buy that at Home Depot. Maybe I'll go get one. Now, I have something else for you. Each of you, you know what this is? What do you do with it? Yeah, so what do you think is behind the door? A note or a picture? Yeah, so I want to give each of you one. Yeah, I think I have enough to do that. And to these little ladies back here. There you go. Let's have a prayer and you can go back to your seat. Let's have a prayer. Echo prayer. Come on. You pray after me. Thank you, God, for so many symbols that remind us of Jesus. Help us each day to think about him and all that we do every day. We pray in his name. Amen. All right. Thank you for coming to visit with me.
Christmas tree, how lovely are your branches. Christmas tree, how lovely are your branches. Evergreen in summer's heat, and also winter snow and sleet. Oh Christmas tree, how lovely are your branches. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree.
About all these symbols, it kind of makes you want to get into the Christmas spirit, right? And of course, we can't be in a Christmas spirit without remembering the importance of praying together. So I'm going to ask you to share your joys that you've experienced in the past few days or last week, or maybe something you're looking forward to in this coming week. Oh, come on. Didn't you have a good time last week somewhere doing something with somebody? Mike.
I had a wonderful joy of living all Sid and I had all of our family in our room house here in Jackson.
That's awesome. And did you do all the cooking?
I most certainly did.
Of course. Caden, do you have something? Yes. Thanksgiving with your family. Yes, that's pretty special. Mr. Fred.
I got to spend Thanksgiving with my daughter and her family in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois.
Wow.
And it was a great time, but too short once again.
Yes. We'd like to extend it through Christmas, from Thanksgiving to Christmas. Wouldn't that be a great... Thanks, Fred. Anybody else? Brian. Good. I'm glad. Yes. Any other thanks that you want to offer to God for prayers answered or heard? Heather.
Prayers for Chase and Lindy. Katie Lindy is a social worker that I know, and these two boys, her husband,
had surgery for colon cancer in Vanderbilt and is now back there for complications. So they're not sure what's going on, but prayers for Chase Mundy. He's a father of four.
And his first name is
Chase.
Any other concerns? People that have come to your heart or on your mind? I see in the back.
Many of us are close to a community member named Mark Fierst, and he is again seeking treatment for some recurring cancer concerns.
Mark is his name?
Okay. Prayers are needed for a former retired Jasper teacher, Mel Minky. He is also a member at Salem UCC in Huntingburg. He is in the hospital with an infection right now.
His first name is Mel? Okay. Any others? Now I want to invite you to take a deep breath. As you breathe in God's holiness, God's love, and God's hope. Another deep breath to offer thanks for all of the good times you had last week with family and friends, with good food and comfort and friendship. A third deep breath to intentionally bind together your hearts and your minds as one family as we go before God together. O Holy One, as we come to this time, the beginning of our season we call Advent, when we start to prepare our hearts and our minds to once again celebrate the coming of your Son into this world, the light that shines in the darkness. We are awed by all the ways you have put things together to work together, to bring about the very best possible outcome. Lord, we know that you do the same in our lives, that you work things together for good, for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Lord, we want you to know we love you, and we want to follow your purpose for each of our lives as individuals, as our lives as a family together, and our congregation. Lord, we lift up our bridge team as they begin to consider again the right vision, the right purpose, the right call. What is it that you would prefer the Trinity United Church of Christ become in this community? Give them wisdom and understanding, sensitivity, and courage. God, we're thankful for the many ways you helped us to celebrate with family and friends a few days ago, for all the wonderful food, for all of the wonderful friendships and family relationships. Parents, children, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, thank you for giving us families, God. And Lord, we want to lift up some that have been mentioned by name this morning. We want to lift up Chase as he struggles to find out what's happening within his body. We lift up Mark and Mel. Or thank you for giving us those relationships and how they've impacted our lives. May they continue to do so, and may we be a blessing to each of them. Lord, it's with such gratitude We come filled with hope for what this season can bring to us, what this season can bring to our congregation. Be present with us in all that we think and say and do, and help us to follow more closely Jesus, your Son. Lord, we are thankful for the privilege and the power of prayer and the promise that you not only hear our prayers, you've already begun to respond. Because we pray all of our prayers, whether they've been spoken aloud or uttered from our silent yet earnest hearts, through the power of your Holy Spirit and the powerful, blessed name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, for he is the one who taught us to pray together in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We can't leave worship without remembering the importance of our generosity. Of course, the first Sunday of Advent is always about hope. So think for a moment about what things or people or events bring you hope. And when it comes to the work of God's church, God continually calls us to share God's love, God's forgiveness, God's grace. Those are the ways we can deliver hope to others. The psalmist says we are the work of God's hands, and God continues to shape us each day into a people of goodness and peace. The reason we bring offerings even today and every Sunday is that we remember what an important part we play in creating a more beautiful world through the ministry of our congregation and the witness of our lives each day. How we give and share with one another, how God's love is communicated, is how God's love is communicated, especially to those in need of hope and perhaps a relationship with God. Let's join together and bless our offerings, our gifts that have been brought today. Holy God of new beginnings, as we share our tithes and offerings with you today, we are filled with hope, especially about all you can accomplish through the gifts of our hands and hearts. We enter the season of Advent with expectation, leaving behind us a time of isolation and uncertainty. And we raise our heads because we know our redemption, our recovery, our restoration, our revitalization is coming near. May our gifts be dedicated to help heal the brokenness of our world and to welcome Christ home into our hearts and into our world once again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to stand. We're going to sing together, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Hailed our Savior's birth. Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Let us join together in our blessing and benediction. Let us go forth from this place as awakened people, aware of the world's darkness, yet always reaching for the light. Let us go forth from this place an expectant people, conscious of judgment in our midst, yet welcoming God's new order and justice. Let us go forth from this place a serving people, sensing anew the pain so many endure, yet confident God can and will bring healing through each of us.
We go forth ready to open ourselves as channels of God's hope and grace, for we have heard the good news and have now our hearts shared. May the hope be with us
in this season and forever. Amen and amen. I want to invite you to take your bell and let's ring again. You know, there's a legend of a great cathedral whose bells suddenly refused to ring. Nobody knew why. Finally, a messenger announced God had decided not to allow the bells to ring until the gifts of God's people were once more satisfactory. So on Christmas Eve, the people brought the most expensive gifts they had, but the bells did not ring. The king came and laid his crown on the altar, but the bells did not ring. Toward the end of the service, a small lad, a beggar's son, went forward and put his one and only coin on the altar, a coin that he had intended to use to buy a loaf of bread for his family. And then he knelt to pray. And suddenly the most beautiful bells pealed forth as never before. May the bells that we hear this season call to our remembrance the greatest gift which changed the history of our world, the gift to us of God's own Son. Amen. Thank you.